You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach. Going to be talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. Things have kind of turned against the Mets here the last few weeks after a pretty encouraging season, but it does seem like there's some good news here with Jacob deGrom seemingly with a minor injury and on the way back. What's the status with him?
Yeah, Jacob deGrom has been throwing a couple of bullpen sessions, and it sounds like he's very close to returning. He should start against he should come off the disabled list when he's eligible. The thing with him is, you know, this is, again, like you said, a season for the Mets where they're really out of it at this point. Looking at them honestly, they're really out of the race, and they've got this bright young pitcher, a guy who's in the Rookie of the Year race, a guy who's really probably been the brightest spot for the whole team this summer, a guy who kind of came out of nowhere, and they're going to do everything they can to protect him down the stretch. If there's any indication that his shoulder is not 100% when he's going along here in August, September, you know, they're going to take every precaution. They're going to take him out of games. They're going to shut him down early. They'd love for him to finish strong. They'd love for him to go ahead and pitch as he has been and win the Rookie of the Year, but they're not going to do that at the expense of his future either.
You are unsurprisingly a step ahead of me. I almost wonder, and I have no lack of faith in their doctors or trainers, but this is really quick when you're talking about a shoulder, which is always terrifying. Is there anybody asking what's the rush here, or is it really just it was that minor, this was just a little rest, and he's totally good to go?
Yeah, I mean, no one, you can do all the tests in the world. No one, and if they're coming up clean and they're showing nothing more than inflammation, tendonitis, that sort of thing, no one knows how he feels other than Jacob himself. So if he's saying he's good to go and the tests are coming up clean, I guess it's hard to hold him down at that point. I'm with you. I'd give him an extra week. I'd give him another start. You know, he's just so important where they want to be. The one thing the Mets do want to accomplish this year is they sort of set him at an inning of 180, a limit of 185 innings. And they'd like to hit that if they can, because if he goes into this winter having pitched 185 this year, that sets him up next year to where he really wouldn't have a limit. It would be, you know, in that 215 range, which most pitchers don't get to anyways. So that's the goal, and that's sort of why they want to keep him out there. And not to mention the, I know it's a superficial thing, but winning in the Rookie of the Year would be a nice feather in his cap. But yeah, they're going to have to look at it very cautiously. Any little sign that something's not right, they're certainly going to have to take every precaution with that.
And while we're talking about young pitchers and injuries and caution, is there any real issue here between the club and Matt Harvey? Is there anything to worry about as far as that relationship?
No, I think the biggest thing with that, in my opinion, was the Mets sort of sat down at the beginning of the year in spring training and said, we're going to do everything we can, everything possible, to not make Matt Harvey a story this year. He's not going to pitch, and we don't want him to be a headline. And in doing that, they almost achieved the opposite effect, where, you know, because he wasn't as accessible and because of this, people wanted to talk to him more. They wanted to know what was going on, and it sort of blew up in their face to the point where Matt Harvey saw it as team trying to censor him almost, and it just became a thing. You know, Matt wanted to rehab in New York, and the Mets wanted him to rehab in Florida, and they came to a compromise. And I don't think there's any ill will per se, but it is a little thing. It's a little ripple in the relationship that, you know, had been great up until that point. How that plays out going forward, I don't know. You hear people forecasting, well, he's as good as gone when he's a free agent in 5 years. It's really hard to say that at this point. I mean, this guy has a lot of pitching left. He's got a lot of things he wants to accomplish, wants to do with the Mets. And to predict because of one little squabble, you know, in his second big league season that he's, you know, going to be gone from the organization is really tough to say.
Yeah, it's my experience typically that the team that steps up with the cash in the years generally gets the player, even if there's some element of irritation in the past. Is there anything from his end as to, I mean, he's obviously eager and pushing and really wants to make this go. Is there any sense from his end that he really is being held back, or is he just kind of eager because that's how he's wired?
That's a great way to put it. Matt Harvey is wired differently than most people, most pitchers. I think on a deep you know, sort of inward level, he very much understands and understood from day one that he probably wasn't going to pitch this year. But he's just the type of person where he can't bring himself to say it publicly. You know, if he thinks there's a 1% of 1% chance that he can be out there, he's going to do everything he can to try and take that opportunity. You know, even if everyone else around him, even if his coaching staff, even if his father, who's a huge influence in his life, you know, his agent, all know it's best for him to sit back and not pitch this year, which is ultimately what's going to happen and what, you know, everyone sort of knew was going to happen in the beginning of the year. You know, he's wired differently. He wants to be out there, and if he thinks there's a chance, he's going to try and seize it, no matter how unrealistic that might be.
Has there been any conversation, this is probably a bad name to bring up anywhere in greater Queens, but has there been any conversation with Adam Wainwright? He was a guy, he handled a little differently. He was a little older, but, you know, the year he was coming back, he kept talking about, well, maybe if we get to the LCS, I'll pitch. Maybe if we get to the World Series, I'll pitch. It wasn't an exact parallel, but that's a guy who kind of carries himself well. Or any, I mean, obviously there are a zillion guys who've had Tommy John. Is there anybody who's kind of not from the club talking him down or being a voice in his ear saying that, hey, look, in the long run, this is what works best?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Wainwright's actually an interesting parallel because he was one of the guys Matt Harvey was looking at originally, you know, and he didn't want to have Tommy John surgery in the first place. You know, Adam Wainwright was one of the quote-unquote success stories as a guy who avoided it for many years before finally succumbing to it. And Matt has done his research. You know, he talked to Roy Halladay at one point, who had a similar issue, which didn't turn out to be the exact same thing. I think he might have even been in touch with Adam Wainwright at one point. He went and talked to as many people at the time, and still, even after having the surgery, has talked to people trying to figure out what's the best way. You know, the Mets, too, have done their research, and one of the things they've uncovered was that guys, you know, while you can come back from Tommy John surgery in less than a year, guys who wait maybe 13, 14, 15 months as opposed to 11 or 12 tend to have a far better chance of avoiding a recurrence. So, you know, there's a lot of voices in his ear, you know, pushing him one way. There's a lot of, you know, inward struggle wanting to go the other way. But I think, you know, like I said earlier, everything from day one has pointed to where we are now. It's just him accepting it has been the hardest part.
So let's say we talk about a guy who is on the club now. Zach
sure.
Wheeler seems to have taken the step to being pretty close to what he's going to be. And we talked about him last week, but what is working for him, or what's come around for him that has led to this run that he's been on?
Yeah, you know, there's been several factors. And the interesting thing about Zach Wheeler was, you know, he came up and he was sort of in that Matt Harvey blueprint where everyone wanted him to come up and saw him as that sort of uber prospect that they wanted to create immediately. And his learning curve, to be frank, was steeper. It took him longer to figure it out, and there was some thought that he might never really figure it out. Some guys don't. But he's really come on. And, well, you know, one of the things he's done is that baseball people talk about a difference between control and command. You know, control being your ability to throw strikes, command being your ability to throw strikes to specific points within the strike zone. And Zach's been able to do that. He's become certainly the old cliche, less of a thrower, more of a pitcher. You know, he's throwing fewer fastballs. He's spotting his breaking balls to where he wants in the zone. You know, his changeups become a weapon for him against left-handed pitchers, which is that you know, that third pitch that a lot of guys, that separates, you know, maybe a reliever from a starter or a good starter from an okay one. You know, he's really established that this year. So he really has become more of a pitcher than a thrower, and he's going to be more efficient, you know, where that 100 pitches takes you through 7 innings as opposed to through 5. You know, those are all little things that he had talked about working on in spring training, but they really didn't show up until later this year, until late June, July, and now into August, and he's really, really been thriving.
Well, Anthony DiComo, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Matthew Leach.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.